So as usual, we'll spend the next couple of minutes to engage in some meditation practice. Obeisance to my Guru and Protector, Manjushri, who holds to his heart the scripture text involving overseeing all things as they are. His understanding shines forth as the sun, unclouded by traces of ignorance, whose teachers in 60 ways with the patient love of a father for his only son. All creatures caught in the prison of samsara, confused in the darkness of ignorance, overwhelmed by the suffering. You, whose dragon thunder proclamation of Dharma arouses us from the stupor of delusions and frees us from the iron chains of our karma, whose powerful sword of wisdom hews down suffering wherever its sprouts appear, clearing the way in the darkness of all ignorance. I entreat you, O Manjushri, whose princely body is adorned with 112 marks of a Buddha, who has completed the 10 stages, achieving the highest perfection of a Bodhisattva, who has been pure from the beginning. O Manjushri, all loving one, with the brilliance of your wisdom, illuminate the darkness enclosing our minds, illuminate the intelligence and wisdom so that we may gain insight in the Buddha's words and texts that explain the Allah Rabbata Narumaraja. So if you have any questions about what we have covered so far pertaining to the generation of bodhicitta, yeah, through the instruction of either the sevenfold cause and effect instruction or the exchanging self and other, maybe just one or one to two questions. Okay, Benny.
With respect to the mind generation and bodhicitta, since both these two entities have different pervasion or boundaries, therefore I assume they should have different definitions. So, can I check whether the definition for bodhicitta can be this? Bodhicitta is the Mahayana main mind generation that exists in the continuum of bodhisattvas.
What? Yeah, new definition. Repeat again.
It's not really new. The mind generation has been given the definition. Yeah? The Mahayana main mind that is conjoined with the two aspirations. Yeah, the aspiration for full enlightenment, for others' welfare. That one is the definition for mind generation. But because bodhicitta and mind generation has different limits of pervasion, different boundaries. Mahayana mind generation covering the Buddha ground, whereas bodhicitta does not. So can I assume that we can offer this definition of bodhicitta, a Mahayana main mind generation that exists in the continuum of bodhisattvas. The mind generation being the definition which was covered before. So bodhicitta is a Mahayana main mind generation that exists in the continuum of bodhisattvas.
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay. And
two laguma. Two senke. Teaching senke lamsang di. Two senke sa. Two senke sa. Two di.
So, Mothers discussing with Kenji about your putting the word main, whether it was necessary or not. Because if it is a Mahayana mind generation, it's necessarily a main no anyway.
So, there is no harm stating that.
So, if there's a main mind generation, is there a mind generation that's not main or not?
No, there's no pervasion to that. Just to make it clear that it's not a mental factor. Because the difference between the two mind generation and bodhicitta, it was quite recent phenomenon. It's been recent understanding. Yeah.
Okay.
So the second one would be for the aspirational mind generation. Aspirational mind generation. This entity does not exist on the Buddha ground.
No.
Only the engaged mind generation exists.
Yes.
Therefore, it should also have the same connotation of a definition, the one we heard before, that includes one extra phrase that says that exists in the continuum of bodhisattvas. Sorry. That means the Mahayana aspiring mind generation is
the whole definition plus existing in the continuum of a bodhisattva.
Yeah, that one is not directly conjoined with the activities of engaging in bodhisattva deeds that exists in the continuum of bodhisattvas.
So, if you say it is all right, but there's no need to say it, because if it is an aspirational mind generation, it necessarily exists in the continuum of bodhisattva.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Vijay. Can ask, because when we read the commentaries of Lama Yichenmo, you always mention that Lama Tsongkhapa combined the two methods together, right? Seven cause effect and the self exchange self to meditate together combined. But it seems that Lama Yichenmo did not mention about combining these two methods together.
It's a secret. So yeah, it's not mentioned in the great treatise on the stages of the path, yeah. But in the Lamrim text, liberation in the palm of your hand, in order to practice the instruction of the sevenfold course in effect, one doesn't need the instruction of exchanging self and for others. Yeah. But if you practice the instruction of exchanging self and other, then the essential points of the sevenfold course in effect instruction must be present. The instruction of exchanging self and other is also to develop the love and compassion, isn't it? But as we have seen in the sevenfold course in effect instruction, right? In order to develop the love and similarly compassion, first one must be able to see all sentient beings as and it's very attractive, very pleasant, that they matter to you. Yeah, yeah. So without having affection for sentient beings, then it's not possible to develop the love that arises through the force of such an affection. Yeah. Without having cultivated a strong love and strong compassion, there's really no way to exchange, to have this attitude of exchanging self and other, isn't it? Yeah. But if there's strong love and compassion cultivated already, then you know it is one would have the wish to exchange self and others, isn't it? Yeah. One would willingly exchange others' suffering, you know, for one's happiness. Yeah. So therefore it is taught that in order to be able to train successfully in the instruction of exchanging self and other, that one's training must possess the essential points of the sevenfold course in effect instruction. Yeah. Next is the ritual for adopting the spirit of enlightenment. Yeah. So I think we'll just cover this briefly.
Okay,
Okay, so the explanation of how to adopt the spirit of enlightenment through its ritual has three parts, yeah? Attaining that which you have not attained, maintaining and not weakening that what you have attained, and the method for repairing the spirit of enlightenment, if you do weaken it. So, in the first one, attaining that which you have not attained has three parts. The person before whom you adopt the spirit of enlightenment, the persons who adopt the spirit of enlightenment, and how to take part in the ritual of adopting the spirit of enlightenment. So here we are talking about adopting the aspirational spirit of enlightenment. So what kind of person before whom we adopt this spirit of enlightenment? Who do we generate this? Yeah. So here we are talking about generating the aspirational spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment. It comes with a commitment. Yeah. So generating the aspirational spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment is done or is taken, is generated in the presence of someone who have received the Bodhisattva vow. Okay. So, who are the persons who can adopt this aspirational spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment? Who can adopt this through a ritual? You understand? We are talking about the persons who can adopt through a ritual the aspirational spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment. Yeah. Okay. So the persons who can adopt this are those who have trained their minds in either the Sevenfold Course of Infinite Instruction or the instruction of Exchanging Self and others, and through such training have gained at least some transformative experience in relation to this bodhicitta. Yeah. Okay, then the next one, the third point, how to take part in the ritual for adopting the spirit of enlightenment. This has three parts: the preparation for the ritual, the actual ritual, and the conclusion of the ritual. So the preparation for the ritual has three sections: performing the special practice of going for refuge, amassing the collection of merit, purifying your attitude. So, and of these three, the first one, performing the special practice of going for refuge, has three. After decorating the place of the ritual and setting up representations of the three jewels, arranging the offerings, supplications and going for refuge, and then stating the precepts of refuge.
What
Here, one has to make preparations, such as the offerings and so forth, for adopting this aspirational spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment. And we adopt this through a ritual, yeah. So what are the preparations you need to do, yeah? So at the place where you're going to adopt this spirit of enlightenment, the aspirational spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment, the place where the ritual is going to be held has to be clean well, right? And you're supposed to anoint the place with scented waters, perfumes, and to be made beautiful with flower offerings, yeah? And one should also arrange the representations of the Buddha's exalted body, speech and mind, yeah? Representation of these holy objects. Then one should also prepare a throne for the teacher, the person whom you are taking this ritual form. And it is said that the throne should be decorated with flowers. So there are reasons why we need to engage in these preparatory practices, yeah, before the actual adoption of the aspirational spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment. Yeah. Here, we are talking about generating a very expansive, a very big mind. A mind that is focused on achieving benefit for all living beings. Yeah. So even if this mind is generated for just a very short instant, it brings about limitless benefit. Yeah. We're talking about generating a mind, you know, for limitless sentient beings, you know, adopting a mind of wanting to achieve enlightenment for them and wanting to place them in a state of enlightenment. Yeah. So in order to generate such a precious mind, then we need to, we need to develop respect, you know. And also, yeah, and that's the reason why we clean the place, because it matters to us, and such a mind is so important, yeah. We want to generate it. So that's why we make all these preparations as a sign of respect, yeah, by cleaning the place, and setting up the throne for the qualified person who possesses the vows, from whom you are going to go through this ritual. Yeah.
다툰다 다 뒤치고야 간가 조조 랑스 네 조조 랑스 셈나 다꾸나 가신 도시 티베꾸네 랑데 치고야 시발 군에 가신 도시 어디에 지고 있는지 심지 죽였으면 가와서 보시 어디에다 가신 도시 내가 지도 지고 고성도 된다네 어디에 살아
So all these are preparations no, for the ritual. No. Supposed to be done voluntarily and happily. No. Because you understand, you see, how the significance of the ritual. You understand what it means because you're generating this very precious mind. So, you know, all these preparations are to be done voluntarily and happily, you know, enthusiastically as well.
어떻게 됐다? 아니, 나는 쳐봐요나? 아니, 쳤다? 쳐봐, 쳐봐도 내봤어. 가도 막막 피고야지. 나는 쥐에 등계기 등계나? 쳐봐, 강계기. 강상상, 등계 피고야, 숨고야. 나는 쥐에 등계면나? 아니, 고야, 믹스해 말해. 나 유나? 아니, 쳐. 강막막 등계시 피고야, 어떻게 숨고야. 다 가지고 아니, 쏘는 쏘라고 싸지. 나는 게 생계기.
And then if one can afford it, if one has the ability to do so, then we should set out many offerings as extensive as possible, as many as possible, and as of the best quality as possible. Yeah. Well, if one does not have the necessities, one does not have these the ability, then it is an exception. But otherwise, you know, we should make as many offerings as possible and as good offerings as possible, because making extensive offerings becomes a condition, you know, for us to be able to develop this mind.
Yeah. 변 심계세 자신부터 통과해 내가 시대가 두고요. 변 심계 가서 시원 심지 깨봐요. 가서 와요. 아니지 신든 제 근데 시간에 가보지 깨봐요. 단도서 맞고 쉽게 안 따가 나신 아니 준도 좀 봐요. 준도 쉽신부요. 진대기 진기 손이 달라서 덮쳐요. 진대기 진기 산지기 고만 유도 덮쳐요. 진대게 안 심지에서 있는 것 좀 진대에 쉬어서 동체 따라 그 맞잖아 탐이도 뒤 진대게 깨 탑라 졸라 보서 간다 사고는 싸게 있는데 진대게 심쉬지면 또 저거 자신 부부에 갖고 이발했다 진대에 내가 시도 봐요 또 저거 부여가 아니 감내 미용하시 어떤 일이
Well, if we understand the reason why we need to make extensive offerings, then making extensive offerings will not be a problem. Because, as I mentioned before, here we are talking about developing this precious mind, an aspirational spirit of enlightenment, that when developed, you know, when it arises in the mind, then you know, we will not feel at all difficult, you know, working for others. Yeah. Yeah. No matter how difficult it is. And also, with this mind of the spirit of enlightenment, then it really gives a very strong impetus, you know, to developing joyous perseverance, isn't it? And when we have these two, joyous perseverance and a never-die attitude, you know, then one will amass the collections quickly, and if the collections are amassed quickly, then we will achieve enlightenment quickly, isn't it? Yeah. So if you see, you know, how important this mind, this spirit of enlightenment is, how it's important to generate it, you know, then one will not experience, one will not feel any difficulty in making extensive offerings.
Yeah. 저거 무슨 말라? 다른 게 장도도 안 되고 해. 그래서는 주치 고성도 고해. 어? 딘데 시리샤. 아니 다가 당신 다. 네, 딘데 시고해. 아니 지금 다 루비 문해장 다. 그런 게심 기사기. 아니 대바 기사기 유기 연재는 주제. 그런 게 아니 지금 다. 대바 숙취를 깨야기. 이제 답시 지혜 어떻게 내게 돈에 아니 남기다 소신만 다 열라도 봐 내게 돈에 아니 지금 조사 대표 지혜 어떻게 있어요?
And as for the students who are adopting the spirit of enlightenment through the ritual, the students have to wash themselves and keep clean and put on good clothes. Yeah, and then the master, the person who is conducting the ritual, should generate the to help the students generate faith, you know, by talking about the good qualities, you know, of the objects of refuge, right? And before adopting the spirit of enlightenment through the ritual, then the students should also engage in the practice of accumulating merit and purifying the minds of obscuration through the seven branched worship.
What this man shot that dinema, that long that, and it's Chowanangi, that Lamala, that Timbe to Shishashi, and it's Sunday movie to Shishashi, and it's Chase, Otusini, that Mendelso to Chase, Tuxini, that Rangi, that Anipumo, Tuxi, that Tamo Chase, Lord, and it's Chanju Sin, Shuri Tundu Sudipshi, what did she?
Then the people who are taking who generate this aspirational spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment. At the beginning, they should generate the attitude, the idea that the person who is giving, the person who is conducting the ritual, have the idea that he is the Buddha, and then they make prostrations to that person. And then and make a mandala offering. And then one has to kneel on the ground with kneel on one's right knee. And by joining your hands respectfully, then one makes a supplication, a request for this spirit of enlightenment. So the verse for supplication is given here in the text, yeah? Just as the former perfect Buddhists who are Tathagatas and Arhats and the great Bodhisattvas on the higher levels initially generated the spirit of unexcelled perfect enlightenment, please, O Master, help me and to generate the spirit of an unexcelled perfect enlightenment. Yeah.
What did they say? That is... That is not an issue. That is not an issue. That is not an issue. Tambo, that person, that jumped with Chapel Chins, that got jumped with Chapel Chins here, that all got jumped with Chapel Chins, so the teaching jumped with here, what in the shop.
So next is the special way of going for refuge. And this special way of going for refuge is the Mahayana refuge. Yeah, going for refuge in the Mahayana way.
That on the team, that's all the local cinema, that Changju Matu Patos, that Chitus of Simjin Tundu, but Changju Matu Patu Chitus of Simjin Tamji Gabashi Chitu. That's Sanjay like Jobs with chickens. That's your like Jobs with chickens. You do like Jobs with chickens. What in this stuff? Team are that I can do chickens.
So this is a specific way of going for refuge, this Mahayana way, is basically thinking, from now until achieve enlightenment, for the sake of protecting all sentient beings, I always go for refuge to the Buddha, I always go for refuge to the Dharma, I always go for refuge to the Sangha. So one goes for refuge here, and then the master should explain the precepts of going for refuge. And these precepts are, we have already studied them, right? Well, when we were looking at the practices that are shared with the persons of small capacity. So after having gone for refuge to the Buddha Dharma Sangha, then one has to amass the collection of merit. As mentioned earlier, one visualizes the root and lineage gurus, and then all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, yeah. And then in relation to them, then one accumulates a merit. So next is purifying one's attitude. Yeah. One purifies the attitude by bringing to mind, you know, the meditation on love and compassion, yeah, for developing this this feeling of bodhicitta, yeah. So we should actively sustain that, you know, in thought. So all of these are the preparations for the ritual, yeah. So next is the actual ritual, yeah. So you see, there are all these important points here, that are the forms, the preparation for the ritual. Yeah. So on the basis of cleaning well the place where the ritual will be conducted, you know, then on the basis one has to go for refuge, you know, in a special way, in a Mahayana way. Yeah. And after that, one has to amass the collection of merits. Yeah. And then one has to purify the attitude, you know, on the basis of sustaining the meditations on love and compassion until there's some movement in the heart, you know, there's some feeling. You know. So, until then, you know, then, you know, then it's the kind of, you can say that the preparation for the ritual is kind of complete, yeah. So on the basis of doing all of these preparatory practices and then through sustaining the meditations on love and compassion, until then come the time when one has a transformative experience, and when there's some movement in the heart, you know, through thinking about love and compassion, there's actually some experience, a transformative experience, then one becomes the actual basis, you know, or the person who can take part, you know, in the ritual. Yeah. So this is the ideal situation. It has to be like that, yeah. Isn't it? It's not sufficient for the master to say what he has to say, and then we sit there and then we repeat, you know. As it says right there, you know, in the text, you know, under the section, you know, about the persons who adopt this spirit of enlightenment, it should be someone who has trained their minds, you know, in the way that has been explained earlier, and have gained some transformative experience with respect to the spirit of enlightenment. Yeah. So in order for the actual ritual to be able to take part in the actual ritual to really benefit from it, right? You know, to do it well, then we have to put in all these preparations. Yeah. So if all the preparation that we've been looking at up to this point has been done well, then the actual ritual will also take place nicely. Yeah. And if this happens, and if you're able to go through the actual ritual nicely, doing it well, then you will also have a very good result. Yeah. But we're not like that, isn't it? Yeah? For us, the preparation is not done well. I'm not sure. I think some people don't do well. Like myself. So if the preparation is not done well, then of course, I mean, in the actual ritual, it won't be perfect, and then, you know, then of course, then we don't really have much of a result.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, it is important for us to know this, right? So, once we know it, then as much as possible, then we just try to make sure that we do our preparation well, yeah, in order for us to be able to generate this aspirational spirit of enlightenment. Then as for the actual ritual, then with respect, we kneel in the presence of the master. Here, it is not that you generate the spirit of enlightenment thinking only, I will attain Buddhahood for others' sake. Not just that. Rather, you focus on such a thought and make the commitment. I will not part from this determination to attain Buddhahood for the sake of all beings until I reach enlightenment. So generate the attitude with these two aspects in dependence on the ritual.
Uh,
Generating the aspirational spirit of enlightenment alone, which means, which entails generating the intention, thinking I will achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings. Generating this aspirational bodhicitta or aspirational mind of enlightenment alone can be done by anyone. Anyone. Yeah, it's open to everyone. Yeah. But if we generate the aspirational spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment, which entails, you know, making a promise to never forsake this intention until one achieves enlightenment. Yeah. So if one makes such a commitment, then one has to train in the precepts that comes with this commitment. So generating the aspirational spirit of enlightenment through a ritual doesn't necessarily come with a commitment, yeah. So this is open to anyone, right? But when it comes to engaged spirit of enlightenment, yeah, then it necessarily comes with a commitment, yeah. The engaged spirit of enlightenment, yeah, that necessarily comes with the commitment, yeah. So maybe it'd be helpful if we just go through the words for that comes in the ritual for adopting the spirit of enlightenment that comes with a commitment, yeah. So this verse is to be repeated after the master, yeah, and we repeat this three times, right? So the words of the ritual is there in the text, right? All Buddhists and Bodhisattvas will reside in the 10 directions. Please listen to me. O Master, please listen to me. By means of my virtuous roots in the nature of generosity, ethics, or meditation, which I, in this and all other lives, cultivated and joined others to cultivate or rejoice in the cultivation of, I will generate the spirit of great unexcelled perfect enlightenment from now until I reach the heart of enlightenment, just as the earlier perfect Buddhas, who are Arhats and Tathagatas, and the great bodhisattvas who reside on the high levels generated the spirit of unexcelled perfect enlightenment. I will liberate all living beings who are not liberated. I will free all living beings who are not freed. I will relieve those without relief. I will cause to reach nirvana those who have not reached it.
That lobby, that lobby with Tuni Lingina, what did she? That lobby never check, that lobby maybe on the chin, sent you sugar swine. But if Kadeshi was in the Echi by a part, the ancient lobby looks at cinema, that lobby mania by now, lobby never enough, and simply sugar going to swine, never is, never matters, still a sugar swine.
So this is the way to adopt the spirit of enlightenment for a ritual. If you are able to find someone to perform this ritual for you, yeah, right. So, however, it doesn't mean that you cannot adopt the spirit of enlightenment to a ritual if you cannot find a master.
Yeah.
So if one can adopt the aspirational spirit of enlightenment or ritual, even if you don't, if you can't find a master, yeah. The process is basically pretty much the same. The preparation, right? It's pretty much the same. Then you imagine the Shakyamuni Buddha, and all the Buddhas in front of you. Then you make obeisance and offerings. You accumulate merit by doing the seven branch worship, and then you go for refuge and so forth. And you think that you are adopting this spirit of enlightenment by reciting the verse after Shakyamuni Buddha in front of you.
What in the air shot that dinema, and she got it, Sindhi, Gasatis, and Matova Tabar Shivas, that on the interiors. Rava, Sindhi Chugas Mala, Chugon, Matova Tabar Chavas, Tisadi, that dinema, Toba di Minima Somas, that what they were, Matova Tabarche, that top sunny, and Minima Smiler, and Karaka Chiku unit, those in the smile.
So this is adopting the spirit of enlightenment through ritual, yeah? And this is attaining that which you have not attained, right? So after you have attained what you have not attained, then the next thing to do is to maintain and not weakening what you have attained. So, once we have attained what we have not attained, once we have adopted the spirit of enlightenment to a ritual, then we have to ensure that it does not degenerate. Yeah. And in order to ensure that it does not degenerate, we have to train in the precepts. So as for maintaining and not weakening what we have attained, then there are two. Yeah. The training in the precepts that cause you not to weaken your spirit of enlightenment in this lifetime. And then there's the training in the precepts that will cause you to not separate from your spirit of enlightenment in future lifetimes as well. Okay, so of the two, look at the first one. The training in the precepts that will cause you not to weaken your spirit of enlightenment in this lifetime. So this has four parts, yeah? The training in the precept to recall the benefits of the spirit of enlightenment in order to increase the strength of your enthusiasm for it. The training in the precept to generate the spirit of enlightenment six times each day in order to increase the actual spirit of enlightenment. The training in the precept not to mentally abandon the living beings for whose sake you develop the spirit of enlightenment. And then training in the precept to accumulate the collections of merit and wisdom.
다톤다 티네 마마 보이송도 다톤다이니 다심께바이나 다톤다 편요 가지이네 어디 섬나다에 다콘다 테나 숨바나시 카시마고나 티크도 신담바르 교회 너바메나 소놈 논스츠바고 소톤다 티네 요에 사지 니기도 네 테스노도
니바디 케 니바디
참자와 무엇의 신도 강한 신탐을 교화하시다.
신탐을 교화하다.
맞다. 니바다 니세대 가라. 역충놈 들어와.
역충.
배열라 참자와 땅. 뭐 니세. 다 땅도 참자와 니엘라 송치. 다 뒤져라.
뭐 어디? 신탐을 교화하라.
니바다 말이야. 니라, 니바다. 테라 땅도 심기. 깨봐. 땡보 깨봐라. 배열 니엘라. 심 깨봐야 배열이야.
So here there talks about the two advantages of having generated a stable spirit of enlightenment. You become a pure field. And second, you become fully endowed with protective merit.
What did they say? That tambot the karsana, that shim tabarjuwa, say the Latin mare, jigan lamiris. 제 차차 교화 시스마다 심지마다는 심지 탐지기 인해서 교화 스타트도 심지 계도가 있나 다 지대기 사다 미제를 탐지기로 하면 차차 내수 교화 시다 정기 때문에
So there are two benefits here for stable generation of the spirit of enlightenment, right? The first one is you become a pure field. Yeah, pure field. It means a pure field for accumulating merit, yeah. So once the spirit of enlightenment arises in one's mind, yeah, then one becomes an object of worship for all living beings. Yeah. Immediately, you know, you become an object, you know, for reverence. Yeah.
What on that team, that in it, that in the shit, the Kazan Shivana Shire, that you did not do today's one to song, dashing in the today's tone, and is it that change of some money bit of a killer get away now? That's simply Tamjig is wrong, but Kona Mavasi, Lana Mavasi, Lamana Shinsi, Kushabi, what in Angi, what in the name of
it. So, to having trained the mind in the Sevenfold Course in Infant Instruction or the instruction for exchanging self and other, and when one really develops, you know, the bodhicitta, you know, when one really develops this mind, you know, then naturally then one becomes an object of reverence for the sentient beings, yeah, or of respect, and you become the leader of the sentient beings, unexcelled amongst the sentient beings, you know, and you.
That thing on the sheet of him, but it's on your simple cabin, and some the Sula Nashim Shesh. Send the Sula in Pembo Bushik Cheshigi, somebody came with the song. The Shinki Kusha Mangi, present the Junzi Kanet and the sheet of him.
I mean, I guess if you think about it, I mean, this becomes apparent, isn't it? Because anyone who develops the real bodhicitta, that person becomes a source of benefit for sentient beings, only benefiting others and not harming others, right? So if the person is like that, then naturally, obviously, people will just naturally respect the person, isn't it?
What in this that the Mabushi Moset in the Otto's initiative, that Tinema, and it's in November, son of Yonsu Zimba said the team. Personal. That then, Kologu, Yavosuneki, Suma, New Jersey, and Tatsuma. Kologu, Yavos, 송아진 송아 딜레기다 답로 제기 장주 심진이 강사들 답도 송아지 어떤 내용 토에
So the second benefit is that that for those who have generated the bodhicitta, yeah, then they are always protected by guardians, you know, of the universal monarch, or what we call the wheel, such a thing as a wheel-turning king. Yeah. So the wheel-turning king have protective guardians. Yeah. So they say that one will be protected by guardians, you know, that are twice as numerous as those of this wheel turning king.
What in the song? Taganashi, Anishi, that Mita Mahim, Mita Mimahim, Najin of Sova, Namji Yang, Tadushita Sova, Tinzeki Yang, Rama, Nobachimitre, what
he had. And then one cannot, such a person, yeah, the person who has developed bodhicitta, cannot be harmed by non-human entities, yeah, such as yakshas and local spirits.
What in the song? Taganashi, Anishita, Mazo. Takarasana, Samata, Ringavish, Anishik Yamda, Nabat, Nego, Shoshivas. Same thing, Lana, Maduva, Namjan, Tilato, Maduva.
So secret mantras and knowledge mantras that can cure epidemics, injuries and infections but are not effective in the hands of living beings become effective when someone with a stable generation of the spirit enlightenment uses them.
What in the Irish? That on dining, did it? That's some other thing. I'll touch him with Kandeji and I am the watching with Dubedi, so what's in Jusin, Tempo Juna, that's some other thing. Kandeji and I, no, but two than the watching you to it. That's Chanjusin, Tempo Jimabina, some other thing. Kandeji and the watching you and I am, then a matter. What about Nimbuchisungu, Chaganda, Chanjusin, Tempo Wedi, and she was teaching Bushin somewhere.
So here they're saying that about the importance of having a stable spirit of enlightenment, a stable bodhicitta. Because otherwise those mantras are supposedly to be very powerful and effective, right? Doesn't become effective, doesn't show their power, doesn't show their effectiveness, no, when practiced by people who have no bodhicitta. But by people who have bodhicitta, you know, these mantras and that are practiced, it becomes very effective, very powerful. So we need to understand this, yeah. Yeah. That it is having bodhicitta that makes, you know, these secret mantras and knowledge mantras show their effectiveness, able to, you know, produce whatever they are supposed to produce.
Yeah.
Well, and those who have developed this spirit of enlightenment, you know, they do not retaliate when harmed. And for those who have developed this spirit of enlightenment, even if they are born in the lower realms, they will quickly be released from those rebirths. Yeah. And for those who have bodhicitta, whatever suffering they experience becomes a condition for the bodhicitta for the compassion to increase.
What in this much that nema anishi that chire takasana tanda kara chiti.
So basically, in order to increase our strength of the strength of our enthusiasm for bodhicitta, then we have to constantly remember the advantages, the benefits of having bodhicitta. Yeah. So next is the training, the precept to generate the spirit of enlightenment 6 times each day. Okay. So the training, the precept to generate the spirit of enlightenment 6 times each day has 2 parts. Yeah. Not giving up your development of the aspirational spirit and training to increase the aspirational spirit of enlightenment. Yeah. So there are great faults and disadvantages that will arise from giving up, this aspirational spirit of enlightenment. Because when we generated this special mind, you made the commitment in the presence of the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and the Guru, isn't it? Yeah. So the commitment is made in their presence. So if one gives up this commitment, then of course, then the ensuing faults and the disadvantages will be great. So therefore, it also says, like a blind person finding a jewel in a heap of garbage, by chance, the spirit of enlightenment has arisen in me. Think how very wonderful that I have attained something like this and never give it up. Devoting particular attention to this, vow over and over not to give it up for even an instant. So he gives an example of a blind person finding a jewel in a pile of garbage. Yeah. I mean, that is almost like impossible, isn't it? It's like, so rare. Yeah. So likewise, considering the odds, the fact that anyone who has the chance to develop this spirit of enlightenment is really amazing and so rare. So one should remember this, and then to generate the thought and over again, generate the thought of never ever giving this up. Yeah.
What
So then we need to increase whatever and the aspiration spirit of enlightenment that has been generated. Yeah. We need to engage in the training to increase this mind. And so therefore, we should generate this mind 3 times in the day and 3 times in the night. Yeah. So we can we should in order to develop to strengthen this spirit, this mind of enlightenment, yeah, this spirit of enlightenment, yeah. And then we're supposed to develop this mind 3 times in a day, 3 times at night. We can do so through the ritual, right? Like it's mentioned here, we visualize the field of merit and then make offerings, you know. And then in particular, like, you know, what was mentioned earlier in the preparatory ritual, we have to refine, we have to purify our attitude by sustaining the meditations on love and compassion. Yeah. And then on such a basis, then we generate, again, this spirit of enlightenment. Yeah. And we can recite this verse, no? The verse that we usually recite, right? I go for refuge until I'm enlightened, the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, and so forth. And on the basis of that verse, you know, we're reciting it 3 times, then we develop this mind. Yeah. So of course it would be ideal if we can use the words from the longer ritual that was mentioned earlier for adopting this spirit of enlightenment, right? But if not, we can just use this short verse here, no? You know, the one which we are very familiar with, right? Using that as a means to develop and to strengthen, you know, the spirit of enlightenment, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the third training. Training in the precept not to mentally abandon the living beings for whose sake you develop the spirit of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
What is the meaning of mentally abandoning sentient or mentally abandoning sentient beings? What is the meaning? So based on some minor or some condition, then if we generate the thought and thinking, no, I will never work for that person. That is mentally abandoning the sentient beings. Next is the training in the precept to accumulate the collections of merit and wisdom. Yeah. So after having generated this spirit of enlightenment, then we have to strive, you know, to accumulate merit and to purify the obscurations by doing the seven branched worship. So these are the four trainings that one has to engage in order to not weaken the spirit of enlightenment in this life. So next is the training in the precepts that cause you to not separate He looks very relaxed behind in the posture of Maitreya Buddha. So the training in the precepts that cause you to not separate from your spirit of enlightenment in future lives as well, this has two sections. The training in the precept to eliminate the four dark practices which weaken the spirit of enlightenment, which Rinpoche always translates as the four black dharmas. Yeah. Then next, the training in the precept to adopt the four light practices or the four white dharmas which keep the spirit of enlightenment from weakening. So we will talk about these four white and four black dharmas in the next session. So you should read this up on your own. Yeah? So if you have any questions pertaining to what we have covered today. Yeah.
Not quite what was covered today, but Ken Rinpoche did mention the exchanging self for others. So, two methods have been taught for generating bodhicitta. I wondered if to become a bodhisattva, we have to practice both, or two methods are taught because we have different, all of us have different mental inclinations, and one method works better for some of us and the other method works better for others. And my question, that's my question, whether, you know, that is why two methods are taught, and whether the strength of the bodhicitta achieved through these methods are the same, or one method is said produces stronger bodhicitta than the other.
So the stronger and weaker bodhisattvas. So these two systems of developing the spirit of enlightenment comes about because of the lineage coming from the two masters, right? But the spirit of enlightenment is generated through training in these is either of these indita systems are is the same. Yeah. It says.
독신이 안타게 시원하시네. 제가 안타. 된다. 다 남들 아시는 수만 하시네. 다 다시 냠지게 군 놓자마디. 다 가서 누가 제시하지 숨겨야 돼. 이 가르르스는 다시 냠지게 군 놓자마라. 이제 명아 좀 내가 대파 참고 그랬어. 제가 곧 누바다 대봤어. 어떻게 숨겨야래? 난 다시 이제 명아 등에 건 놓자나 다시 냠지게 건 놓자리 내가 대파 참고 해요 그랬어. 어떻게 숨겨야잖아? 나 양고. 근데 내가 제 숨겨래.
Well, in the Lamrim text, the liberation in the palm of your hand, there is said that the system of exchanging self for other is a more powerful technique, because that that instruction contains the essential points of the sevenfold cause and effect instruction. But when we practice the sevenfold cause and effect instruction, the essential points of the instruction of exchanging self for other need not be there.
这是送来的，但那个老乡呢？对呀，这什么当官？我听他的。
So this is what is mentioned in the liberation in the palm of your hand, but we have to think about this, yeah.
嗯，但是老板的过送，就落脚的，落脚的，他那没过马送车的，他落脚的过马送车嘛，当不起。
So, did you understand what was taught today?
I heard you say you don't understand today. No?
So you're asking if whether the reason why there's two traditions is because of the faculties of the trainees. Rare appearance. Take photo.
Okay, this is a reference to what was taught just now in the text. It says if you're a real bodhicitta, then you should not be afraid of yaksha spirits and all harmful beings.
No, it says you will not be harmed.
You will not be harmed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you will not scared.
No. You will not be harmed. Okay.
That I remember.
I just have a little bit of trouble accepting this, what was stated there. Because you take example of our precious guru, Jyotsi Lama Zopa Rinpoche, when he got the stroke, it was mentioned that he was in Australia in Bendigo, that he's mentioned that while he was there giving a talk, he felt something enter him. So if our precious guru like Jyotsi Lama Zopa Rinpoche, who is such a great practitioner, who has developed a realization of bodhicitta, and still get subject to harm by spirits, then I have difficulty accepting what is said in the text just now. That's my point. Vigeshila, you'd like to comment on this?
Thank you.
There isn't a straightforward answer to this. Yeah, one can approach this from many angles. Yeah, basically, yeah, you can comment on it from various angles. Yeah, but in order to even to be able to comment on it from various angles, then we need to know many things. Yeah, one of which is the presentations of the four Buddhist tenets. Yeah. So, if for example, according to the Great Exposition School, the Vaibhashika, the Buddha's body is true suffering, it's not Buddha. But whereas the Sutra School and above do not accept that, right? So if we follow this degree exposition school, right? For them, Buddha's body aggregates is not Buddha because it's true suffering. So if it is true suffering, then of course what I see lah, sure die lah. Then no problem, right? Quite easy, right?
Which school you are, Baba Shika?
I'm sure the president is the highest school. Right? Dhammakaya, Rupakaya.
The highest school, Dhammakaya. Middle way school. Yeah? But your question is Baba Shiva question.
From the Sutra School onwards, the Buddha's aggregates is Buddha, not true suffering. But once you accept it's Buddha, then to say that Buddha receives harm becomes a contradiction, right? But people see the Buddha receiving harm, during the Buddha Shakyamuni shed blood, yeah, when it was harmed by Devadatta, right? But we seeing somebody receiving harm doesn't mean that the person is receiving harm. Let's say Buddha. So in the case of Buddha, Buddha showing aspect of receiving harm, right? So once you accept that the individual involved, Buddha, is Buddha, then to assert that the person suffer is a contradiction, right? So then the only explanation left is it all boils down to our impure perception, right? Due to our impure mind, right? No, now we have to say we show the aspect of bringing to hospital. We show the aspect also. This aspecting is too much. So, I mean, you know, if we take the Vaibhashika view, which fits with our level of mind, I mean, it's how we think, right? That's easy, isn't it? Yeah. Because, anyway, whether someone is Buddha or not depends on the level of mind, isn't it? If the mind is completely freed of all the obscurations, then it's Buddha, yeah? It doesn't matter what happens to the body, yeah? I mean, that's easy for us, right? But of course, this is not the ultimate view. I mean, it's not the final reality of things, right?
Okay.
Tan Rinpoche, I have this question many years in my mind. Mm-hmm. Let's say in my last life, right, I have taken the Bodhisattva vow. And the Bodhisattva vow, it says that I will engage in the precept until enlightenment. And this lifetime, when I don't remember my past life, I won't remember the precept. So from that time until I take the Bodhisattva vow this lifetime, that period of time, do I accumulate karma done but not accumulated?
What done?
Negative karma done but not accumulated because I have not been keeping the precept of engaging Bodhisattva vows.
So in this life when you sleep, do you accumulate negative karma?
Not keeping the precept.
Sorry?
This life, yeah. When you fall asleep, you create negative karma, not keeping the precept.
No.
Huh?
No.
Why?
Because there's no
not
motive.
Keeping, yeah, not. When you fall asleep, you don't keep it.
But then there's this saying that once one take the Bodhisattva vow, even when you're sleeping, the merit increase, right? So if the other way around, wait. You see, it says that when one take the Bodhisattva vow, even when you're sleeping, you're not having any motivation, the merit goes. So I wonder if the other way around. That means that...
Other way around is how?
Don't know.
Anybody can help?
Well, if we engage in the training that will ensure that the precepts, that the spirit of enlightenment is not weakened in this life, and if we engage in the training that will ensure that you will not be separated from this spirit of enlightenment in your future lives, then it shouldn't degenerate, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So then you know, we die, we enter into the intermediate state and what have you. During that whole period, you know, the spirit of enlightenment is not manifest, right? So if it is not manifest, then we say that it is in the aspect of not degenerating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, it takes, one takes rebirth, then the course levels of consciousness starts to operate. And then, you know, one starts to, you know, maybe, you know, have good heart, you know. You know, then it's possible maybe the spirit of enlightenment might arise here. But I would guess, I would think that in that life, one has to train as well in order to generate this spirit of enlightenment, in order to bring it back, yeah. And you have to adopt it through a ritual, yeah. So yeah, so I'm not sure during the in-between period, yeah, when the spirit of enlightenment is not manifest, whether there's the whether you incur the fault of not keeping the vow or not. So it's like you know when we are asleep, the mind of enlightenment is not manifest, right? So at the time, whether you practice the four white dharmas or whether you don't abandon the four black dharmas during the time, it doesn't really matter, right? And also, if one kisiao, no? If one kisiao, kisiao means, you know, you go crazy, yeah. There's no fault, yeah, in not being able to abandon the four black dharmas and not able to cultivate the four white dharmas. So I guess there wouldn't be any, you wouldn't incur any faults here. Because no, those are exceptions, right? It's beyond control, so to speak, right?
So can I have a second question? Yeah, last, this is pertaining to last lesson. I do not really get the qualms, but I think we have the qualms like the obstacle to practicing exchanging oneself for others. One of obstacles we think like this, others' suffering has nothing to do with me because me and others are separate entity. And then I think the answer given to solve this qualm is a wrong consciousness, because we grasp at others as inherently separated from us. How about I tell Shantideva, by merely labeled I suffering has nothing to do with the merely labeled others suffering?
Yeah, I think maybe this is how the arhats think also.
What's your question?
Okay, I think, okay. How will Shantideva answer me if I say that the merely labeled I suffering has nothing?
Okay, basically someone who has realized emptiness, lah.
Yeah. Other suffering has nothing to do with the merely labeled I.
Everything,
So anyway, the I in question is always the merely labeled I, right? Whether it's the I that is suffering or the I that is happy, it's always the merely labeled I that is experiencing those, right?
That is the existing I, right? But I thought,
You think non-existing I is suffering?
No, because we all grasp at an I, therefore we suffer, right? If we don't grasp at an I, we won't suffer, right?
Yeah.
So? I forgot. No, because
so you're saying basically even if you've realized that there's no real I, no real other, it doesn't mean that you will develop bodhicitta, right?
I don't see the how like realization of emptiness help to develop bodhicitta.
다 동안 용매 똑같다는 나한테 동안 용교 식으로.
The eye that is suffering is none other than the merely devil eye, right?
Correct. Yes. Because last lesson, right, we say that the food, if you say that me and you are separated, then your hands wouldn't take care of your own food that's separated, right? And then the answer given to that is like, because, you know, you see the food as inherently existent, the hand as inherently existent, that's why you see others and you are separate entity, therefore you cannot exchange selves with others. So I thought the obstacles to the person who cannot exchange oneself with others is due to grasping at inherent existence, you see. Maybe I'm getting it wrong.
Next time, you make clear question. I didn't get exactly. What was it? Dr. Butchus, is the bottom of something in the address.
Okay, so you read up, okay, on the four black dharmas and the four white dharmas, yeah. Okay. Finish the usual prayers. And so.